Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-hostess Misty Hull and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So good evening to you, Misty.
Good evening, Bonnie. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. Did things warm up in Florida a little bit?
Oh, things were too warm here today. It was hot. It was a little bit too hot for what temperature I like. I like the 70s. It was hot today. But you know what? I suppose for most Northerners, it beats, you know, the dreary, ugly, rainy days that most of us get during the wintertime. So maybe I shouldn't complain.
Right, Misty. Don't complain. People are having snow in other parts of the country already.
Oh,
I would be complaining about that.
Oh, I love snow. I don't know if I would complain about that.
Yeah, it's always the grass is always greener, as they say.
Of course.
Anyway, we'd like to welcome our listeners. And thank you for turning into our Straight Wives radio show. We're going to give you the phone number in case anybody would like to call in within the hour. And our number is area code 646-716-4893. And I'll repeat that to you again. It's area code 646-716-4893. So, tonight, Misty, I wanted to talk a little bit about the latest so-called scandal or shock, you know, that came out of the ministry this past week. I'm sure you heard about it, since it's happened in Georgia. And, you know, it was on national news everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to do with one of the mega ministers. I guess they referred to him that way. And his name is Jim Swilley. And I believe it's pronounced Swilley. It could be Swiley. Would you be familiar with how it's pronounced?
I am not. I would say either way. Either way works.
Well, for us, I don't know how he feels about it, but...
Well, for us, it works. That's true. That's
mm-hmm.
true.
But for those people who haven't heard, you know, this happened, it says, I'm reading one of the articles, and it says, torn by bullying suicides, pastor says he's gay. Despite feeling called by God to spread the gospel, he lived a lie for decades, fearing that the truth would not set him free, as John the Apostle promised, but ruined his life and his devotion to preaching. Bishop Jim Swilley founded a Greater Atlantic House of Worship in 1985 that has grown into a mega church. He married twice, excuse me, and fathered 4 children. He traveled the country giving sermons about Christ and Christian love, but he kept secret his own feelings on human desires. What do you think of that so far, Misty?
Well, I think that does a lot of damage to a lot of people. I think, as being a Christian myself, I don't think it does much good for the straight wife or the gay men out there trying to live in a straight world. I think it perpetuates the behavior of gay men thinking they need to hide and not be who they truly are. So, I mean, I have very mixed feelings about it. I just think...
Well, first of all, let's talk about the fact that he was married twice.
Mm-hmm.
He had 2 wives. And it said, but on a recent Wednesday night, he stepped out of the closet while sitting in the pulpit of his 1,200-member non-denominational evangelical church and announced he was gay, something he said he'd rather not choose or speak about for most of his 52 years. Soon, some walked out, many others stayed. Swilley said he wanted to change hateful bullying and intolerance of homosexuals. He wanted people to know that, at least for him, it was not a choice or a calling. There are 2 things in my life that are an absolute, he told his flock. I didn't ask for either one of them. Both of them were imposed upon me. I had no control over either of them. One was the call of God on my life, and the other thing was my sexual orientation. It was the recent stories of suicides by gay teens that pushed him to stop living a lie, Swilley told NPR. He was especially compelled by the story of Tyler Clemente, a Rutgers University freshman, who jumped off the George Washington Bridge after his roommate and a friend allegedly live-streamed video sexual encounter between a man and Clemente. I would hear people nearly imply that he deserved it. You know, people would say he shouldn't have been an act of perversion, Swilly told the public radio network. And when I started hearing that, especially from people who profess to be Christ-like, I didn't know. Something changed. In the videotaped address to his followers, Swilly said he had recently told his parents and his children, and they stood behind him. He stated that his wife of 21 years, Debbie, had known before they were married, but loved him anyway. The couple separated more than a year ago, but she remains an associate pastor in their cathedral in Conyers Church in the now, about 25 miles east of Atlanta. It's called Church of the Now. And it was Debbie who told him he should come clean and follow the church's motto of real people experiencing a real God in the real world, Swilly told WSB-TV in Atlanta. He said he received some sharply negative reactions. I know all the hateful stuff that's being written about me online. Whatever, he said. To think about saving a teenager, yeah, I'll risk my reputation for that. As a father, Swilly said through tears, thinking about your 16, 17-year-old killing themselves, I thought somebody needed to say something. The pastor also said he wanted to clear up some rumors. He had not left his wife for another man. He told his congregation, which included a smiling and applauding Debbie. His situation was not similar to Eddie Long, another megachurch pastor in Atlanta. Long, an anti-gay preacher, had been sued by four young men who claimed he coerced them into sex with lavish trips, gifts, and jobs. Long denies the accusations. My position is not about gaying up in the church, Swilly told CNN. It's about people being who they are. And that was a story that was filed last week. And I think a lot of people were very shocked by this.
Oh, of course.
And, you know, I'm really, once again, not familiar that much with the mega churches. But I guess that means people like Ted Haggard. Am I right when I'm saying that?
Well, the mega church is how I understand that. They have a very, very large membership base, you know, meaning there could be thousands of people there to attend any given service. So
mm-hmm.
He's had a lot of followers. He's had a lot of people coming to his ministry for worship. And that's how I would just define a mega church, is just one with a huge membership base.
Well,
so he had to be quite popular in the community to be able to grow, you know, because it's not easy to grow a ministry like that. You know,
mm-hmm.
It takes a lot to do that. So, he had to be very dedicated to that practice, I'm sure, to grow the ministry.
So let's talk about Debbie. Now, we don't know very much about Debbie, except, you know, they split up a year ago. And what just kind of threw me off track was the fact that Debbie knew before she got married about his sexual orientation and just loved him enough just to marry him.
Well,
so what are your thoughts about that?
I have many thoughts about that. Being in the field that I'm in, working with straight wives, I have the privilege of knowing a lot of women's stories. And, Bonnie, you and I both know that sometimes these men do confess an encounter with a man, you know, with the same-sex partner before marriage. And whenever that happens, that encounter, as I've heard it through the straight wife retell this encounter, is so minimized. It could go along the lines of saying something like, well, you know, I was just experimenting, or that was when I was on drugs. I just tried it. There was nothing to it. I didn't like it. And, you know, I know that I'm not gay. And, you know, just something along those lines are the story. And you have to think, depending on how long they were married, I think you said 20-some years, you know, 20 years ago, it was much different. There was lots of different beliefs going on. You know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, people, and even still today, some people think that you can change. It's a choice. Your sexual identity can be a choice. So you have to put so many different things into context. And, you know, I really have to question, how much did she know before they were married? and what context was it told to her in? And, you know, was it minimized? There's so many questions there. You know, Bonnie, there's just so many unanswered questions in that statement. So before I would assume that she knew everything about his past, I would just have a lot of questions to ask. And, you know, wonder
right.
if she had been given complete, you know, disclosure, which I'm very doubtful that she would have been because, you know, you and I both have worked with women that have been given, you know, somewhat of an exposure. Well, you know, it was the 70s. We were trying everything. You know, just something along those lines. And, you know, that's very plausible. And when a woman hears that, well, this man loves me and he tried, he doesn't like it. So that's not who he is. So, I mean, I would really question, did she have full disclosure?
Well, you know, like I say, she may have had disclosure and not understood it because so many of us didn't understand it. You know, we were under the impression that if we tried, you know, the guy would try something and he didn't like it, then that would mean that, you know, he tried it and he didn't like it, and that means that he's not going to be doing it again.
Absolutely.
I think that homosexuality is so confusing to men themselves that it's really hard for us to understand it, but look how hard it is for them to understand it.
I agree with that.
This brings up like another topic that comes up a lot with our women. And in fact, we were talking about it in our chat room earlier tonight. It's the whole issue of denial.
Mm-hmm.
And I really have different thoughts on denial because, you know, I do understand it to a certain extent. And, you know, certainly what kinds of addictions that people are involved in with me, it's always been my lifetime food addiction, or smoking addictions, or other kinds of addictions that people have, you know, it's easy to stay in a state of denial, and even when people have illnesses. I mean, and I certainly understand it, but at some point, you know, how long can you stay in that state of denial? And, you know, with men, you know, like, for instance, I'll give you an example. My ex-husband, when he was younger, he said that he didn't consider himself gay. And part of the reason was because he didn't want to be known as gay. Secondly, he didn't understand what gay was. He thought that in order to be gay, you had to be a certain stereotype that he would see on television and in the media, and he didn't relate to that at all. Also, when he was with a man, he said he had no emotional attachment to a man ever. He wasn't there kissing him and holding him and being affectionate. It was strictly a sexual act. So he didn't, you know, consider himself gay because gay meant all those other things that he didn't do. Plus, he was able to have sex with a woman. He was able to fall in love with me. He was able to have children with me. So in his own mind, it wasn't a matter of denial. It was a matter of, you know, what his perception of himself was and what his life was. And I don't really believe at that point in time that he was trying to trick me or that he was trying to make a fool out of me. I think he was just extremely confused himself and didn't understand what he really was. And I think that's very common for a lot of our husbands. They really don't understand homosexuality at, you know, in the early stages of it. Then a lot of them may deny it altogether and say, well, they're not gay, but they might be bisexual. Because it's very comfortable to use that little terminology, bisexual. Because bisexual is still kind of acceptable, more so than gay. It's like you're in the middle, and people, you know, look at it as being more trendy, and there's some kind of excitement to the word bisexual, where gay, there's nothing exciting about it to the everyday person. You know, that's like a total, once you say that word gay, then it's all over. Bisexual gives people false hope. Like there might be a chance that you could be straight, you know, even if you have these feelings for men, but you might really be straight. And so bisexual sounds good, and I'll tell you the truth, Misty, I think you know this too. A lot of women like that word a lot better than hearing gay, right?
Absolutely, because, you know, first of all, I agree with everything you just said. I often think they're so confused about it themselves, you know, that they don't know what direction they're going in. And in terms of the word bisexual, wow, what a word. Because you and I both, you know, we have so many women coming to us. When you hear that word bisexual, what that does, that delivers some hope. It delivers hope to the straight wife. Well, you know, we can make this work. If we go to the correct counselor, we go to the correct therapist,
We both work hard. We can make this work. When oftentimes that is such not the case. I'm not going to say bisexuality does not exist, but I do truly believe that it does not exist in the realm that we work with as often as the women wish for it to exist.
No, I don't know if it really exists at all, because to me, somebody who's truly bisexual, under definition of what I think bisexual should be, then even if he does have desires for men, he should be able to avert that because he has a good woman.
Absolutely. I'm just saying, I think there are some exceptions to the rule. I just don't think it exists like what as straight wives wish that it did exist. And it just, it doesn't, because if it did, just like you said, I think they could work through the rough patches and get on with their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't see that happening.
Or else the other possibility is a lot of times people think it's bisexuality, and I think it's a sexual addiction, where people just have this addiction for sex, and it could be with anything and anybody, bisexual, trisexual, animals, dogs. We've had women in our chat room, they walked in on their husband, you know, making love to a dog. As sad and pathetic as that might seem, but it's true. So sometimes, once again, people do have sexual addictions, and the problem is that they call that bisexuality when in fact it has nothing to do with being bisexual. I do believe that bisexual is a transitory phase that men have when they're moving from straight to gay, when they think they were straight, and now they're moving into the, you know, understanding themselves as gay men, and they're somewhere caught in between on that road because they're married, and also because of the fact that, you know, they want to be straight and they think they can, you know, pull it off. But
absolutely.
In that sense, they might consider themselves bisexual. But it's really a confusing issue, and I do acknowledge that to a point. I really do. And I am sympathetic. And I'm sympathetic to the men because I know that they're living in a world that's not their world to live in.
Mm-hmm.
But, and here's where my big but comes in, but when you finally recognize that this is what you're doing and you're out there cheating on your wife, and you can't be like, okay, let me just check and see if I am, because you've tried it more than once and you like it, then there comes a time that you have to take responsibility and step up to the plate and stop denying this. You know, when it becomes preoccupying your thoughts, when you're thinking of all different ways that you can do this and men you can meet and where you can go, and it starts preoccupying what you're doing. And when you start lying about it, and they may start out as little lies, but then they become big lies, you know, you can only stay in denial for so long, because after a while you're no longer in denial to yourself, you're just in denial to your wife. And at that point, you know, you're just lying. You know, and I think that's where, you know, the problem is that, you know, once again, I think that women could much more easily accept the fact that they have gay husbands if the fact that the husbands could be honest with them instead of letting them linger for years, making them to believe that they're crazy and making them think that it's all their fault for doing that. What do you think?
I have to agree with that because, you know, I've worked with women that have been told by their husbands that they think that they're bisexual. And I've seen these women try so hard to make this work. And, you know, I've seen in the defense of the husband, I've seen them try to make it work too. And they've just seen years there for women to linger. And the longer you linger in a situation that's broken, I think the more possibility for damage is done. That's my opinion. And I see some of these women coming out of these relationships so broken and still blaming themselves because they're holding on to that glimmer of hope with that word bisexual. They're holding on that, you know, well, if their husband is bisexual, they could possibly love them again, be with them again. And it's just, it's heartbreaking to see those situations because before you know it, you know, 6 months turns into a year. A year turns into 5 years. 5 years turns into 10 years. You know, you're looking at being in this marriage for many years and you keep thinking it's going to get better. I was in one of those marriages. I kept thinking it was going to get better. My ex, you know, alluded to the fact a time or two that he thought he could be bisexual, but of course he recanted those stories. But when you live in that, and I've experienced that, you think that there's hope, and then if nothing's happening in terms of in the bedroom or with your sexual relationship, then you blame it on yourself. Well, it must be something I'm doing because he told me he could be bisexual. That doesn't mean that he doesn't want me. So it just does a lot of damage. That word, I think, does a lot of damage to the straight wives that I work with, and I'm sure the straight wives that you've worked with as well.
Yeah, so that's why I hate that term bisexual, because once again, it gives women that false hope that if they can only love their husbands enough, be supportive enough, do the right things enough, that the husbands don't have to be turning to men. And believe me, I've been there, done it, and know how it feels. And I was mentioning earlier in the week, you know, I had several heartbreaking letters from, you know, one of our support group members. And my heart went out to her so badly because she was married in a long-term marriage, and it wasn't a great marriage. And her husband, you know, eventually left her. And when he was having sex with men, you know, his explanation to her, as I have many women tell me the same thing, is that, you know, it was because of her that he was forced to do this because she didn't want to have oral sex with him. So she, you know, drove him to find other men to fulfill that need that he had. And, you know, I was so sad when I heard that because she was actually believing that she was the cause of his being gay.
Yeah. When you're that, I think that's a good illustration of how broken these marriages can make some of the women that we've worked with. And myself, even myself, I have to admit myself, I was so broken by the time my marriage was over. I would have just about believed anything. And I can see how easily, when you're that far broken down, you'll believe a lot of things. And when you're told something long enough, you'll believe a lot of things. And it's just so sad when that type of situation is taken advantage of and the person is blaming the spouse, the straight spouse, for causing what they have done. And it's just heartbreaking to hear because, you know, you and I both know so many of these women take on that pain and they take on that burden when it's not theirs to take on.
I know. And what a horrible thing to say to a wife. Well, it's because of you. You made me gay because you wouldn't do, you know, the normal things with me. So I had to turn to men. But I've heard that story many times throughout the years. And the only thing I can say, Misty, that I just want to make this point, that, you know, I've been doing this, I guess, close to 30 years now. And through the years, I've heard from close to, I don't know, getting towards 70,000 women, you know, from around the world, not just here, but in other countries. You know, and the issues are always the same issues, the feelings are the same issues, you know, emotions are always the same. But here's the interesting thing. As many times as I had women who have told me initially that I'm wrong because, you know, they want me to be some kind of miracle worker to make their husband straight when they're not, or to give them confirmation of something that's not true. I mean, like, I don't know, understand why they want this from me because, you know, I'm really clear up front, you know, that I'm not going to pretend that something isn't the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always give them good information. And I've had so many of them come back to me later on saying, Bonnie, you were right. But I've never had anybody come back in 5 or 10 years and say to me, Bonnie, you were wrong. That's never happened. You know, nobody ever said, well, you said my husband was gay, and now it's 5 or 10 years later, and we have a wonderful marriage, and you were wrong. You know, nobody has ever done that out of all these people.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, once again, I don't believe that when you're in a marriage to a gay man that you can have a happy marriage. And I think that if Debbie Swilly got married to her husband 20 years ago or so, that, like you said, times were very different back then and people didn't understand homosexuality. Plus the fact that he had married previously. He already had a wife. And now he's loving her. So why wouldn't a woman believe, yes, it's possible that he went through a phase. Plus, he went on to have sons with her. So I'm not saying they, you know, I don't know how their sex life was, but they had sex at least twice, most likely. You know, and maybe when she met him, he was in his, you know, late 20s, early 30s, when he was still able to function and perform heterosexual sex. But we know that men of that age group, even if they're gay, many of them can perform sex. You know, it's not a preference. It's not that they want to do it, but they feel an emotional closeness to their wives, or that's their way of staying in denial that they're gay. You know, this way they don't have to admit it. you know, in their own minds, they can say, well, I'm bisexual because I'm still having sex with my wife, you know, and I'm still making her happy because they all think they make us so happy. And that's because most of us haven't had, you know, enough sexual experience, not myself included, so I'll take myself out of that equation.
You can include me there.
I'll put you there, Misty. But a lot of women really haven't had sexual experience to know that this isn't good sex. And look how many women come to me later on after they meet a straight man and they would say to me, you know, you were so right. There's such a difference between making love to a gay man versus a straight man. They said, you know, it's not even the same experience that we always thought that, you know, this is what sex was supposed to be with their gay husbands, which was always unfulfilling. You know, they never felt, like, excited by it because to a gay man, it's not exciting. So if he's not excited, how excited do you think you're going to be? You know, that's not to say he can't perform sex, but let's be for real. You know, you'd like to have somebody who feels equally excited and into it as you are. In almost all cases, that's just not happening with a gay husband. So naturally, when you find a straight man, you know, later on afterwards, you know, of course it's like, bing, you know, now I understand what making love is all about. Where you never understood it when you were with your gay husband. You were just fighting to get it every now and then and hoping that he would, you know, do it, thinking there's something wrong with you the whole time, and he wasn't sitting and disagreeing with that. So I think there's a lot of complexity. So I'm not making any judgment as to why Debbie Swilly got married to her husband. And even if she knew he was gay, she was living, I believe, in hopes of the fact that if she loved him enough, and maybe she was hoping also that religion would change him. What do you think about that part?
I would have to agree with that because we hear that a lot today, that how that, you know, if your faith is strong enough, it will change you. And you know, that just breaks my heart when I hear that because, you know, I think God designed all of us. And I do consider myself a Christian, and when I hear that, it just makes me sort of rumble and roll over because I think it's just so damaging when people hear that. It's just so damaging because they keep trying to make it work, and then they feel, you know, that's the last thing a straight wife needs to hear, oftentimes because she's already blaming so much on herself from the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And when they hear from, you know, a minister figure or, you know, whatever their church or religious belief may be, you know, tell them, well, you know, pray about this. If your faith is strong enough, you know, it will change. And, you know, it's heartbreaking to hear that because I see so many people trying it. And, you know, there are men that try that do that as well. You know, they try to walk that walk and they try to do that. And it just, it's pitiful. It's really pitiful to see that in action.
I know, and I think so many times, you know, when I'm looking and reading stories and I see that some of these people who come out, you know, are the most homophobic of all people, you know, as far as when they're preaching, you know, and I don't know if you're familiar with that aspect of it, but when, you know, they sit and they condemn gay people, and I think it's so sad that
mm-hmm.
he who condemns the loudest seems to be the gayest. I mean, we've seen that with
mm-hmm.
a lot of the ministers who have come out, correct?
I have seen that happen a lot. And, you know, I have witnessed, you know, people just bashing and bashing, and then, you know, you see that person come out. It's just, you know, it's so scary because you have to wonder, you know, wow, does that person have that much self-hatred that they have to condemn their own kind? You know, it's terrible to hear that and see that happen, but it does. It happens a lot.
I know, and I think that, you know, it must be so hard for people to keep faith when they see religious leaders who are, you know, living such a hypocritical life, whether it's, you know, the Catholic Church who have priests, you know, who are molesting boys. And, you know, I always like to say that, you know, as far as that's concerned, they didn't become child molesters because of the Catholic Church. They were child molesters and joined the Catholic Church because
mm-hmm.
it was easy access for children for them. And, you know, this isn't just one or two priests. These are hundreds and hundreds of priests, you know, who have been prosecuted. And yet, you know, how do you do that and then still go to church and feel belief in God when you see how the Catholic Church, rather than prosecuting the child molesters, you know, they were really protecting them, you know, raising money for their defenses. And, you know, that must have been very disheartening. And then when you're, you know, if you're a Christian of any denomination and you see people like Ted Haggard or you see, you know, people who are so adamant against gays, you know, coming out of the closet or getting, not coming out because they were caught in the closet. You know, it wasn't a matter that they were doing the right thing. They got caught. And, you know, I just can't imagine how you can have really respect for, you know, the leadership and have a lot of faith in the church. I mean, you just never know who's going to come out next.
Mm-hmm.
I would think it'd be really difficult.
Yeah, and it's, like you said, it's very disturbing for me to hear someone that just, they're so homophobic, and you can tell by the comments they're making, and then later you learn that they're coming out of the closet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but that's just very disturbing to me.
That to me is the same thing as the politicians who vote on these anti-gay
mm-hmm.
bills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those, God forbid they should be associated with a pro-gay bill because they're so afraid that their own truths may come out. And we've seen
exactly.
a lot of this in government also.
And what's so, you know, what's so disturbing to me is when you see people in high power positions or in high positions of status to other people, you know, in some sort of leadership form. But people are very influential. And when they say things like that, it's just so hurtful. It's hurtful to, you know, the gay person. It's hurtful to the straight wife. It's hurtful to everyone involved when they hear that, when they use their power, I think, to make a platform for being homophobic and just stating things such as, it hurts everyone.
Uh-huh. Well, I think there's, you know, and it's only a real statement as far as how our, a lot of people always say to me, well, homosexuality and homophobia, it's all changing in this country. Why do people have to live a lie in this day and age? You know, so many gay people who are out there and who are successful, you know, why does somebody have to keep living a, you know, hidden life? And I always say that, you know, you can't make a generalized blanket statement like that because, first of all, there's still plenty of parts in this country where homosexuality is not acceptable and where people do have to, you know, hide who they are.
Uh-huh.
And you're from the South, Misty.
I am.
And do you think that's kind of true in a lot of cases?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I remember growing up, people would make comments, and, you know, well, there's no gay people that live here. I grew up in Eastern Kentucky. Of course there was. That's where my ex-husband's from, a married one. You know, it's not easy. I can't, you know, that's always my line of defense when people say, well, it's a choice, you know, if you're gay or you're straight. And, you know, I really have to come back with, if it was a choice, who would choose to be gay to live the life of hardship?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had gay friends. I've seen them go through terrible. You know, gay friends are very upstanding people, citizens to this world, a gift to this world. And I see them go through so many hardships because of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who would choose that? Who would choose that path? I mean, it's not an easy path.
Yeah, I think nobody wants to feel that he or she is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people want to be accepted. I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of discrimination is, whether it's racial, religious, cultural, or sexual. I think all of us are looking for love and acceptance. And it's really hard being different. And, you know, for some people, there's no way to escape that. In other words, if you're living in a world and you're of color, there's no way you can hide that. People are going to know if you have a different color skin, if you have features on your face, if you have eyes that are, you know, Asian eyes. There are no ways to hide this. I mean, you know, it is what it is. But with homosexuality, you have that opportunity because people don't look at you and see, you know, a scarlet G on your forehead. You know, there's nothing there to identify you as being gay. So you have that opportunity to pass in a world without having to feel discriminated against or that you're different than everybody else. And especially when you hear such horrific comments by people about gay people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's really funny. When I was much younger, people used to say to me, you know, and I would say, well, people aren't as prejudiced because I, you know, I'm the Jewish, you know, faith and Jewish culture. I'm a Jew. But anyway, growing up, you know, this is going back
to get right to the point and to make it more simple.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't want to beat around the bush. But, you know, the reality was, like, I would say to people, well, people, why do you think they hate Jews? They said, you know, you live in a big city where there's a lot of Jewish people, so you don't necessarily hear the same kind of comments of people who aren't. They said, if you want to hear how people feel about Jews, go hang out in the bar some night and bring up the subject and don't tell them you're Jewish. And I did that when I was like 18 or 19 years old. I would go into bars and I would pass the same way that gay people can pass as being straight. You know, being Jewish, I was able to pass into a non-Jewish world, and I don't have the stereotypical looks that people think Jewish people have, you know, the way they portray us, just like with gay people. You know, blonde hair, blue eyes, you know, and I didn't speak with my voice going up back in those days. I spoke, you know, much more non-Jewish-like. I acquired this way later on in life. But the thing is that when I would go into a bar and I would go there and sit there and talk to people, you know, and they would start saying things about Jews when they started drinking. And I would say to myself, oh, my God, you know, they're talking about not me. They were talking about my mother and my sister and my grandmother because I didn't personalize it because I didn't want, you know, I was trying to escape from my own world.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I say, it was easy for me to sit there and just listen to it, but it did hurt me because, even though I didn't personalize it, I thought they're talking about my family. So, you know, put somebody who's gay in the same position, you know, and they're going in with straight people. And I don't care where it is or whatever, people are still, you know, using derogatory words towards gays. I hear it all the time. You know, the different names they call them, like faggots and homos. And that's in a, you know, big city where I live, where people are exposed all the time to gay people, and they're still so friggin' prejudiced. You know, they'll still call them names, or, you know, they'll say, oh, you're a sissy, you're gay. You know, it's never said with any kind of respect. It's never said, oh, like it's a good thing. I mean, have you ever heard it used in those contexts? You know, oh, you're gay, you must be artistic, like so many very talented people. Or, you know, gay people have contributed so much to scientific experiments. Like, you don't hear it used in a positive way.
No.
Do you?
No, I've never
Unless
heard it.
Maybe
used
I'm missing it. Maybe you're hearing it.
Maybe I'm not hearing it either, but you don't hear it used in a positive way.
No, so to me, it's no wonder that somebody would want to escape being that. It's like really putting your hand in the fire when people are saying, oh, well, gay is something really horrible, and then what are you going to say? Well, here I am. That's me. And, you know, it takes a lot of courage. And believe me, I don't know if I would have that kind of courage if I were a gay person. So I really admire people who are out, who are honest about themselves, because I know it takes a lot of courage and a lot of determination. And I've always said that I don't know if I would have that kind of courage to have to be out there and be proud and be marching in parades if I were gay. However, and this is where the big however comes in, or that big but again, as I call it, that doesn't mean that I would take somebody down another road with me to protect myself. You know, even if I didn't want to announce to people that I'm gay, I mean, and I would understand that. You don't have to be openly out and proud. But you also don't have to marry somebody so that you can hide who you are and live a lie with that person for years to come. And, you know, then all the problems set in. You know, I think that's totally unfair. Don't you, Misty?
Absolutely. You know, it's like we've discussed before. I can understand when you don't understand it yourself, because oftentimes, on, you know, reflecting back on my own marriage, I don't think my ex-husband understood what was going on with him. He may have known he had those feelings, but I also think he probably thought, well, if I get married, this will fix it. I've come to that realization. But the sad part, and where everything seems to go awry, is when the person steps out and they know that they're gay. And by knowing, maybe they can't say the word. Maybe they can't come and say, I'm gay. But
you know, if they keep having sexual encounters, like my ex did with other men, at that point in time, they have to know that they're having some attraction to men. And I do believe that things would have gone much differently. And I speak for many straight wives out there, it would go much differently for them as well if the husband would just come home and say, hey, you know, we've got to talk about something. I have fought these
problems. I have a problem,
for 6 million
right.
years. I have a problem.
It's that simple. Mm-hmm. I have a problem, and I need to talk to you about it. Because, I mean, I have so many men who come to me, you know, at least several hundred every year. How do I tell this to my wife? You know, how do I break this news to her? And they delay and they procrastinate. And every day that goes by, I keep reminding them, because I try to follow up with all my men. You know, I keep reminding them, every day that you procrastinate and don't tell your wife is another day she's forced to live your lie with you and wonder why you don't want to make love to her and wonder what she's doing wrong. You know, I said, stop being selfish. Sit down and say, we need to have a talk because something is wrong. I have a problem. You know, I think that women, as horrible as it is, and as lousy as they feel when they hear this horrible, you know, or horrific news, I won't say horrible news, horrific, because it's life-changing, it's life-threatening, it's, you know, all these terrible emotions.
Off.
You know, what else could be worse than finding out that your husband's gay? And, you know, once again, all the dreams that you had for your future, for your, you know, for your life, poof, you know, they're all gone. So, believe me, I understand it has to be the worst news. I always tell my men, this will be the worst day of your life. It will be the hardest thing you ever had to do. But once you do it, it's over. You know, just get it out of your system, say it, and let the truth free you. And, you know, then you have to be there to be an emotional support and financial support to your wife, you know, in order for you to at least move on as friends, which hopefully you can salvage that at some point. And for some people, they're able to, but it just takes time. It's like I tell these gay men who come to me that, look how long you struggled with this. You struggled with this for a lifetime. It wasn't just a day or two or a month or a year. It's been your whole entire life. And now you're going to break this news to your wife and you expect her to just accept it, you know, move on and, you know, roll over and say, okay, where do we go from here? I said, it's not going to be that simple. It's not going to be that easy. It's going to take a lot of work and a lot of commitment on your part to try to make things, you know, the best they can be under the horrible circumstances that you're coming in under. But, you know, these guys go into these marriages proclaiming to love their wives, and I have to believe in my heart that most of them do to some extent, the best that they're able to. And it's not the same kind of love that a straight man can give a wife, but it's the best that the gay husband can do. So they go in there with good intentions that can never be fulfilled because they are gay men. And then when everything falls apart, you know, the least I feel they owe their wives is that conversation that, you know, I tried my best. I tried to be who I couldn't be. I thought I could pull it off. You know, I did love you. I do love you. But I can't be a husband to you. And I think that women would really understand that better. I mean, that's my thought. What do you think, Misty?
Well, looking back, I will use myself as an example again. Looking back onto my marriage, I truly believe the course of the divorce and the whole everything, I think, would have been tremendously altered and probably more in a positive direction if my now ex would have come to me early on when he was going out and meeting up with men. If he would have come to me and said, you know, hey, I've got a problem. We got to talk about this. Something's going on. I just think the course of my future would have been much different. I would not have stayed as long if we, you know, had come together to dissolve the marriage.
Misty, let me ask you this. You know how I love to put you on the spot for an honest answer.
Please do.
Yes, I do. But let me ask you this. If your husband, let's say 2 or 3 years into the marriage, would have said to you, Misty, you know, I have this problem. I was hoping it would go away when I married you. But, you know, I still have these urges for men, you know, I acted on it. But, Misty, I love you so much. I'm going to really work on it for us to change. Would you have given him that opportunity?
Wow. That's a great question. thinking back, let's say, you know, it was, you know, like 2 to 3 years into my marriage. By that time, I was already breaking down. If he would have come to me and said that, because I would still belong to the membership of, at that point in time, I'm quite sure of thinking that your sexuality was a choice, I would have probably tried it a bit longer. I would not have tried it for 10 years longer like I did. But I think I would have probably tried it a little longer. And that's a very honest answer. I, you know, I can't say that I would hit straight for divorce at that time because by, within 3 years into the marriage, my self-esteem was down. Everything I felt like was my fault. And the relationship was getting very abusive. That's another thing that I think would have been quite different. I come to grow to accept a lot of abuse. Physical and emotional abuse. And I'm not certainly saying all gay men are abusive. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, I think my ex was so frustrated with his lifestyle and what he was trying to hide that I really caught the brunt of his frustration.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a huge thing that would be different that I would not have experienced in going through some of that traumatic abuse because some of it was quite traumatic. And like I said, I'm not certainly, you know, I don't want either of us to get hate mail that I'm saying gay men are abusive. I'm not. My situation was very unique. And I do think if he would have just said, okay, this is what's going on, I'm going to have to go to Misty, talk to her, talk this over, and see where we go from here. You know, if he would have done that 3 years into the marriage and just owned up to that and had decided, you know, let's just move forward from here, both of us move forward, I think our path, both of our paths would have been so much different.
I think the problem is because, you know, this is such a complex issue.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, you're in an abusive marriage, but a lot of women are in good marriages.
Yes, they are.
I'm not saying that, you know, they're great marriages, but some are in really good marriages.
Mm-hmm.
And the husbands love their wives, and they really try to be responsible husbands and fathers. Mm-hmm. And some even throw in, you know, some sex once in a while. And even when they don't, you know, it's not because they're being cruel about it. They're either too tired or they have a headache, toothache, backache, you know, the usual assortment of ills.
I remember those days.
Yeah. You know you have a problem with your husband when he has more headaches than you have, as I always say, when it comes to the bedroom. But the thing is that some of these women have really good husbands, good marriages. And I don't think that even if they do know somewhere in the marriage or the husband even talks to them about it, that maybe there's a problem, maybe there's chance he acted and did something wrong, that they're necessarily going to be ready to give up on that marriage. Because in every other way, it's been successful, and they're just going to hope against hope that if they love their husbands enough, once again, they're going to internalize that this is a choice that they can, you know, there's something they can change. And I know that with my ex-husband, that when the whole subject first came up, I really believed in my heart that if I had been a better wife, if I could be more supportive, like he always used to say to me, you know, if you could only be more supportive. Well, I didn't want to support everything he was doing because it wasn't always right. But I thought, you know what, let me make better efforts. If he feels that this is where our marriage is going bad because, you know, I'm not being supportive enough on certain issues, I'll be supportive in every way that I can. And I'm going to make him love me so much, and I'm going to cook better meals for him. You know, I was cooking good meals. You know, here I'm saying, well, I'll cook better, the best meals. I'll learn to be a gourmet cook for him. You know, I'll try to make the house clean for him. I'll try to make him so happy when he's home. I'll listen to him. I'll do whatever he wants, go wherever he wants. I'll pick whatever movie he wants to see, I'll see. And that's how we start losing who we are, you know, by trying to make ourselves into who our husbands want, rather than who we want to be, because we just want to please them so much. But, you know, the bottom line is that you can try as hard as you want to try, and no matter what you do or what compromises you make, it can't change what is. And I think that's so hard for women to accept, especially when things get better for a while and you feel hopeful again, you know, and when you have these good husbands who are good in every other way, except they can't be a straight husband to you. But, you know, women will justify this and say, well, look how many straight marriages there are where people don't get along. Or after a couple goes, you know, and married for a long time, they don't have sex anyway. I mean, I have people saying that to me, that, you know, why are you telling me just because we don't have sex in a relationship that, you know, we shouldn't stay married? because it's just not the sex. I try to explain this to them. It's the intimacy that's built in a relationship through having, making love with your partner, from feeling wanted and feeling desired. I mean, this is what builds up intimacy. This is what builds up your sexual identity as a woman rather than strip it or take it away because you're not having it. So, yeah, it is important in a relationship. And people say, well, sex is something that takes, you know, the least amount of time. Okay, well, that doesn't mean that it's a very important, you know, part of the marriage just because, you know, it doesn't take a lot of time. It's still very important. It's just like paying the bills for the house. That's important, too. You wouldn't stop paying them because it doesn't take a lot of time. I mean, there's no logic and reason to the rationale that people come up with to stay in a marriage, you know, trying desperately to hold on to something that's just never going to happen. And when women say to me, well, my husband doesn't have to act on it. Okay, well, if you really want to believe that, then you're living in a bigger state of denial than he's living in. Because I haven't seen a husband that hasn't acted on it. Now, maybe it's me, but what do you think, Misty? Have you ever seen a man who hasn't acted on his homosexuality?
I'll go back to my little rule. There are some exceptions to every rule, but however, with the women I've worked with, I've yet to have that happen. Once upon a time, I did know a person. This was before I started working with the straight wives. I do believe he tried his best to do it very right. He went to his wife. He told her what was going on. Actually, he told her he thought he was gay. He wasn't for sure, but he thought. And he told her he hadn't acted on it. And, you know, and I really believe him. I mean, he was, I don't think during the marriage, because he went to her early on in the marriage. And he said, I can't fight this anymore. He made a pact with her that he wouldn't go out with men until the divorce was final. Until they filed for divorce. So they went to a therapist and they took their time and they filed for divorce and they went their separate ways. And they remained friends through the whole divorce process, which is pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. And, but I have to go back to what you're saying. Of all the women I've worked with, I've yet to see it happen. And I was one of those, I have to say, I'll go back to my own experience. I was one of those women I would have sworn on my life, even though my marriage was just in shambles, even though there was so much abuse going on, even though I was continually suspecting that he was gay, that had to be what was going on. I was one of those women that would have absolutely sworn on my life that he was not cheating on me with other men. I would have put my life up for stake that he was not cheating on me. And
well, that's what so many of our women say. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love the ones where they say, oh, well, I know where he is all the time. He doesn't have time to cheat on me.
My ex would call me. He would... You know, he was, like, almost smothering me. I couldn't even go to the grocery store by myself. You know, he was always with me, and yet I was one of those women that said he would not do anything. He doesn't have time. And because we had promised each other, in addition, you know, before we got married, we promised each other if one of us ever felt the need to go out on the other or have an affair with someone, we would divorce the other person first. We would divorce them first. And I believed that. And later, it was right before I entered the divorce process, I found a whole list. I mean, he had been very active, very sexually active, and it had been going on for years, for many years. And I don't know how many years, but many years from the notes he had taken. And I was one of those women that was absolutely sworn that he would have married, even though our marriage was in shambles and there was, it was just down the tubes, I would have absolutely sworn he would not have done that. So I was one of those women.
Right. And, you know, once again, I understand how shocking it is when you find out otherwise or how you can't believe it, but you just don't know the nature of what you're dealing with if you want to stay in that deep, you know, state of denial. So I think when we talk about denial, I like to talk about it more that women are in a bigger state of denial than the men are because it's so much harder for a woman to accept this, you know, it's part of a normal type of behavior from the man that she loves. So if anybody does come across any more information on Debbie Swilly and, you know, how her marriage came about, knowing that her husband was gay and what her thoughts were, if you could email me at bondk@aol.com, I would love to read about it or hear about it, or if you know her or know her situation. Once again, I'd be more than thrilled to hear about it. So before we wrap up, Ms. D, let's talk about upcoming workshops that you have.
All right. I've got one coming up very soon, which I cannot believe that November is here and almost gone.
I know.
Isn't that scary? I have a workshop coming up. It begins on a Monday night, December the 13th, and it's basically getting through the holidays. Holidays are notoriously, I think, one of the roughest times to get through. So I'm repeating this workshop from last year. It was a great hit last year, and I'd extend the invitation to everyone again this year to come meet with straight wives via the comforts of a telephone from your own home and join together for support, for tips, and, you know, just information on how to survive getting through the holidays, because everywhere you look, you see these cheesy commercials with men and women together, and it's hard because holidays are all about family time, spending time with those people that you love. So it can be so difficult if you're having problems. You don't have to go through it alone. This one will last a few weeks. It will take you all the way through the first of the year, and we will meet once a week over the phone. And it's become one of my favorite, you know, reflecting over the past year, it has been one of my favorite workshops that I have facilitated is the holiday one, just getting through the holidays. And, you know, we as a group help you make plans to get through the holidays. So a lot of good information that comes up. And planning is key. Planning is key to getting through the holidays. So if you want any information on it, there's still absolutely room to join. Please email me at Misty Lynn Hall, and that's MISTILYNNHALL @AOL.com.
Okay, that will be great. And, you know, if anybody's interested, this is an opportunity for you to get group therapy or individual therapy by phone. You never have to leave your home. And I know how difficult it is for people to find a therapist who can understand the situations that we're in. And nobody can do it better than Misty. And, I mean, she's just wonderful. For far less than you would have to be paying your own therapist. So if you are interested, once again, I'll repeat her email address. It's Misty Lynn Hall, all one word, MISTILYNNHALL @AOL.com. And if you can't remember that, you can just write to me at bondk@AOL.com. That's BONKAYE. And we just want to let women know that this Thursday, even though it's Thanksgiving, we will be having our online support chat. So if you're listening and you feel you need extra additional support, you can write to me at bondk@AOL.com and just let me know that you're in need of getting hooked up, and we'll do that for you, because we know that with the holiday season, people are going to need more and more time and more support. So Missy and I are here for our women during our holiday season. All right, so Misty, I want to wish you and all of our listeners everywhere throughout the country and world a wonderful holiday and a safe holiday, one filled with, you know, wonderful family traditions, new traditions as you call them, because in many cases people do have to start new traditions, but do something different. Just talk about that for a moment, please, Misty.
Absolutely. That's one of the key factors is planning is, you know, some of the depression and hardness from holidays comes from when we have those holiday family rituals. And, you know, we grieve not experiencing those with, you know, our family members. So one great thing is to change up the plans. I mean, start now thinking of a plan you can do and do something different. You know, start the ball rolling to creating new traditions. New people, possibly go out with different people, go different places, whatever it may be, whatever it sounds exciting to you, change the plans. Don't try to stick to the family tradition as it was if your family's broken apart, because it can be more devastating. It can be more hurtful because
you know, when you're used to that plan, it's just going to be right there in your face. You're going to have those expectations that are not going to be met. So, you know, change plans. Possibly go to a friend's house for Thanksgiving or invite all your friends to Thanksgiving. Whatever it is, just do something different than what you've
right,
done
do
before.
Something out of the norm, something different. Just make sure you keep busy and occupied. And, you know, there's always... You know, you can even do something like helping other people if you have nothing else doing. Go feed the homeless. You know, they're greatly in need of people to serve dinners, you know, on Thanksgiving. Or go to a hospital. They need volunteers on Thanksgiving. Visit with someone who really needs somebody to be there because their families aren't there with them. It doesn't have to be, you know, all about you kind of tradition. It could be about others, too. Sometimes by helping others, you really help yourself because you really feel better that you're helping others. So consider
absolutely.
That as part of a new tradition also. So we want to wish everybody the happiest of holidays, and Misty and I will be back here next Sunday night at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time for our Straight Wives show, and we want to wish everybody the best holiday season ever. And Misty, you have a wonderful night
you too.
An excellent day tomorrow, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, love to all. Good night.
Love to all of you. Good night.
Bye-bye.